F2A. Number 3A.
Yes, so we go on with our matrix. Now we begin to calculate the matrix. We have seen that we have two indices. The one is absolute Christian Science and the other is Christian Science. And you may ask, quite rightly, well, but we know also the level of divine science. Well, one can't really make a matrix that is three-dimensional. The mathematicians can do that, but we are not mathematicians, and we have to deal not with numbers and geometrical figures, but with words and so on, so that really the level of divine science is not included in this matrix, and actually Paul is not very hot on that subject. He is really the one who had to go out into the world, and he had to deal really on the level of Christian science and had to convert the world. And so he usually only reasons from the point of view of absolute Christian science to the point of view of Christian science. In divine science, naturally, man has also its place value, or Christianity has its place value. What would it be, just to indicate it shortly? There we would have to see that man is one with God. That would be the level of divine science, the oneness of God and man, that man is contained, so to say, in love's embrace. That would be a way of putting it too. Well, very seldom in these epistles we find such a statement. It's usually the epistles have to show how we can bring out the true man within ourselves, and not so much to show that man is embraced in God and therefore rests in God. Actually, only right at the end, when we come to Jude, there we find that God keeps man from falling. That indicates a little bit the level of divine science. But also for us, for practical reasons, it's much more interesting to know how our consciousness must be cultured in order that it can go out from an absolute sense of the relationship between man and the world and the Christ and Christianity and science, so that we can demonstrate the true man in the human, namely on the index J. Now, having stated our Christianity matrix, I like to go through those two indices a bit more closely. And perhaps if you take the study aid, where you have more room in the various boxes than in the epistle book, you can add here and there something that may be of great help. And I perhaps tell you what we could add so that we have a common language between ourselves. So we first take the index I. That would be the four columns. And there again we have a little difficulty. Those four columns naturally are arranged one next to the other, so it flows from left to right, and therefore many students then say, well, that's horizontal if it flows from left to right. So the top is really flowing from left, from Word to Christ to Christianity and science, but that does not mean a horizontal. That are the titles of the four verticals. Do I understand each other well in that way? I always have that difficulty when I have to explain a matrix, that they say, well, there where we have Word, always capital letters, that goes horizontally through. Yes, goes horizontal. But they mean the verticals. Sorry that I have to be as complicated as that, but I think it's easily to be understood. And so we first take the meaning of those four verticals, the index I, which is absolute Christian Science. And absolute Christian Science also has to do with understanding, whereas Christian Science then has to do with demonstration. So that actually in that upper left corner, where we have a slanted line, and where we have said that's the index I, meaning absolute Christian Science, you also can add there understanding. Because in absolute Christian Science, we first have to understand the calculus. Whereas then, underneath the slanted line, where we said we put there the I, the J, and say this is Christian Science, you could also put there demonstration. So that you have even a better insight into what that matrix would show. Say, if we only have that, what we have discussed up to now, the matrix would already teach us a lot. Namely, it would teach us that this is a matrix that is going to define to us what man is. Namely, what is man in absolute Christian Science from the point of view of Word, Christ, Christianity and Science, and how does that absolute sense of man demonstrate itself through Christian Science, the index J, as a demonstration of the true man. So the whole matrix would be to understand the nature of the true man and to see that that has an impact on the human plane and demonstrates in the human the perfect man. Now, what is the absolute sense of Word, Christ, Christianity and Science? In Christianity, that's something very different than what we had last year, and we were considering the Christ matrix, which you have on the preceding page in the study aid on page 100. Can you see when we just compare them as we go on that the Word in the Christianity matrix is something else than in the Christ matrix? It must be something because the standpoint is different. So in the Christianity matrix, we have the Word as the grace of God. As in the Christ matrix, we only had the monopotency of God good. Yes, can you see that? So you can feel at once the difference in tonality. In the Christ matrix, you felt the Christ there in the Word vertical, namely the potency of the Christ, the power of the Christ, the monopotency of God good, indicating a Christ tone. Whereas in the Christianity matrix, we have the grace of God. You see, that has no more anything to do with that power sense. It has to do really with grace, with the gift of God. And it's quite a different atmosphere that we get here. So we can see here the Word is depicting God as that source of grace which we have in the epistles. And it is always saying, for what purpose is that grace of God brought out? And so you could, so to say, add there, after the grace of God, we could state the purpose. What is the grace of God that God wants to bring out in the whole vertical? Namely, to bring out in man God's image and likeness. That's the tone that runs right through Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians and James, that vertical. So if you put there the grace of God and perhaps point out to bringing out in man God's image and likeness, Yes. Then you have stated, so to say, the source of the word, namely that the word is grace. You don't have to work for it, it's grace. The grace, what does it want to work out? Naturally, it wants to work out something in man, because it's a Christianity matrix, and it wants to bring out in man that man is really the image and likeness of God. If we take the second vertical, Christ, here we have in the Christianity matrix the glory of the Christ. Paul speaks a lot about the glory of the Christ, meaning what? That the Christ can do anything. The glory is that the Christ can handle every situation, can deal with any situation without any restriction. That's the glory of the Christ. Something very different than what we had in the Christ matrix. The Christ matrix, the second vertical, was the manifestation of the Christ likeness. It was, again, there a power sense, you see. The Christ matrix always had to do with the power sense. So it was the power of manifestation. Here in the Christianity matrix, it's something else. It's the glory. Glory has nothing to do with power. It's a Christianity sense that shows that everything is taken care of, or will be taken care of, or can be taken care of. There is nothing that is not being taken care of. And you can ask yourself, for what purpose in Christianity? And there perhaps you could add that the purpose is really that man, or that we, possess the mind of Christ. That's what is brought out here. So perhaps you add there the glory of the Christ, and the purpose is really to bring out in man, that we possess, or that man possesses really the mind of Christ. Yes. Well, let's go on to the third vertical. And we just first state things, and then we go over it spiritually. We have Christianity there, the idea of man's perfection. So Christianity is always at the point of idea. And so here in Christianity, it's the idea of man's perfection. That's the main point. Whereas in the Christ matrix, we had the preservation of the idea. The power of the Christ matrix was that man as idea is being preserved so that it cannot be taken away. It gives us a sense of protection and preservation. Whereas here it is just brought out that man is perfect, the idea of man's perfection. And for what purpose? What is the purpose, namely to be the representative of God? So you could add there really to be the representative of God. And let's go to the last vertical we have in the Christianity matrix there in science, the science of man. You see, again, the focal point is of man. It's not the science of God. It's not the science of Christ. It's not the Christ science. It's the science of man. That's the focal point. So it will bring out that man must be understood as a scientist, the science of man. Just that where Mrs. Eddy started with her first publication was called The Science of Man. Whereas in the Christ matrix, you could see we had something different, namely, again, the power sense, the operation of the idea in its principle. So there was, in the Christ matrix, you always get the power sense. In the Christianity matrix, you don't get the power sense because it's the outcome. Therefore, it gives much more the atmosphere of man and the universe, namely, that science of man has what kind of purpose? What is the purpose of it? That science keeps man from falling. You could perhaps put it that way, a purpose there, that is keeping men from falling. Okay. We go over it again. And with what we have, we try now together, so to say, to get the spirit of it, the atmosphere of it, the atmosphere of Christianity. We always get something clear if we compare it with the preceding stage. In the Christ matrix, you remember, it was always the power sense that came to the prophets, and they're always prophesying that God comes to Israel and is going to do something to Israel, and that it has power and that nothing can resist it. Whereas now we get a different tonality in Christianity, and we have to get the tonality and get in order to have the spirit of the letter. And so here we feel that that fourfold process of absolute Christian science want to show us what we had there in the Word, showing that it is that we live really by the grace of God. That God is grace. That's very different than to try, as the Jews try to do, through the works of deeds and through the works of the law, to get heaven and to get and to receive salvation. Here it is said, no, no, no. You see, all that is ever going on is that God is good, that God is grace, and that that grace comes to everyone, irrespective of color, of class, of religion, be it Jews or Gentile, be it men or women, be it slave or free. That grace of God comes to everyone, because that grace of God has but one Christianity view, namely to bring out in men the image and likeness of God. That's innate in being. Can you say innate in being? Intrinsic in being. That's intrinsic nature that Christianity begins to see in comparison to the Old Testament, that God is the God of grace, and that that grace is a gift of God, and at the point of man, that that is that gift of God which wants to bring out in man the image and likeness of God, like in the sixth day of creation. See, here you have just the word, sense of that Christianity. So you get an inward feeling. See, sorry, I didn't finish the sentence, but sometimes I want not to finish the sentence because I feel I have to say something in order to lead the thought. Now where have I been? That word that says, you know, we have a feeling, wrongly naturally, that we have to work out salvation. That we have to do a big job, a very hard job, a very burdensome job to work out our salvation. We are immortal, and we better work out that we are not immortal. And that is tilling the ground. That's the second record of creation attitude. The attitude of Christianity is different and says, look here, God is a God of grace. And all what that God wants to do is to bring out man as the image and likeness of God. Now, this is an attitude. Now, this is not just a statement. We have heard that statement 1,000 times in our life. The question is, do we have that inward feeling that that is the only thing going on? Do we have the inward culture that says that is so at ease that we feel whatever the human testimony is and the physical sense testimony is, the fact of reality is quite different. The fact of reality on which I can trust, in which I can have faith, you see, in which I can trust, is that we have to do with a being called God that is of the nature of grace, and that that grace has no other view in view, has no other purpose in view, no other goal in view than constantly to bring out in man the image and likeness of that God. Do we entertain that spiritual atmosphere day in and day out? That's the problem. Not the statement and repeating that statement. Every parrot can do that. Every parrot. The question is, go we through the day with that attitude? This is a fact, this is a truth. Or we go to the second column, to the Christ column, where we can ask ourselves, do I actually have that inward attitude, that inward spiritual attitude, where I see that there is just one Christ going on? That one Christ is the glory of Christ, because it's that one and only Christ that takes care of everything. That's why it is the glory of Christ. Do we have within ourselves that attitude from morning to night to feel whatever goes on in spite of the physical sense testimony is actually that one and only Christ that takes care of everything in every detail in our life? Do we have that inner resting, peaceful, calm attitude? Do we have it or don't we have it? If we don't have it, we know something very important, that we are talking about the letter and have only the letter and not the spirit. That's our honest conclusion then. And that glory of the Christ, what is the purpose of that glory? To tell us that we have that Christ. That's the other point that we have written down, that we have the mind of Christ. Do we go along morning, noon, and night with the sense that we have that mind which was also in Jesus Christ? Do we have a feeling that we have that mind which is the same mind as the mind of God? Then we have the mind of Christ. Do we have that or don't we have that? Simple question. If you say we don't feel that from morning to night, then we know where we are. And we know that we are in the Old Testament and that we are just talking letters, just talking words. Nothing more than that. And silly words. Then we go to Christianity and ask ourselves now, what do we have in Christianity? Do we actually have within ourselves a resting, calm, present, conscious feeling and atmosphere that man is only the idea of God, that idea is always perfect, that the idea of man is always perfect, and that therefore, then we have put in the purpose of it, and that therefore there is always the representative of God within me. Do I have that feeling? Do I go around morning, noon, and night with that inward atmosphere, with that inward calm, with that inward peace, with that inward assurance, with that inward certainty that only the representative of God is within me? Or do I feel I'm a wretched individual that must improve itself? If I have that, I'm living in the Old Testament. I'm living in the second record of creation. Yeah? Can I bring out that we don't have any more to do with nice sentences and nice statements, metaphysically intelligent statements, that we have to do with something very different, that we have to do with that inner atmosphere, with that inner assurance? Do I have it? That within me is a representative that represents constantly the ideal, perfect man. Then I have the third column. or I go to the fourth column. And there again we can ask ourselves, well, is it so that I see that man is not just something given, just something that is there, as the theologians say that man is thrown into the world, or do I have a sense that man is an idea of science, that something that I can understand, and that I, because I can understand it, that I can handle, that I can make my own, that I can practice, that I can prove? Do I have inwardly in me that man is the expression of a science, therefore the science of man, with the one and only purpose to keep me from falling? That I'm staying, that science of man operates within me as a Christian scientist, as a scientist. And all those epistles that are under that vertical all teach how to be a scientist, how to be the science of man and represent that science of man. All those letters that Paul wrote to Timothy and to Titus and to Philemon, and if he has written Hebrew is another question, and Jude, they all say, well, man is a man of science. He can train himself in the science so that he is a scientist, a Christian scientist. And he asked Philemon and Titus and Timothy to be a scientist, to go to those churches as a scientist, as a teacher.